That mood throughout these days as you gather together with family and friends. And thank you for those of you invited family to join you here with us at Trinity, and welcome to those who may have been away for a while. I wish we could just spend time hanging out and getting caught up, and we'll try to get some of that done, and some people near you will extend those greetings hopefully tonight as well. Well, as we consider the Christmas story, if you like the unexpected, you should really love to hear more about this story, the story of Messiah's birth. And of all the unexpected events, which there are many in this story, the one that I think tops the list is that no one would have thought that the message and meaning of the birth would be delivered first to a bunch of shepherds. These were ordinary men working the night shift. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Luke 2, verse 8. God shows his glory to them, and he has a message for them. And it's Luke chapter 2, verse 9. And this sort of launches us into what we're going to be talking about this evening as we consider the shepherds and the significance of the message that came to them, of all people. The angel of the Lord appeared to those shepherds out there working the night shift, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, it says, and they were filled with fear. And of course, the common thing that happens when people see angels and the glory of God is fear. And the common thing in the Bible when that happens is the first message is, don't be afraid. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, that fear-stilling news, that joy-producing news. Don't miss this. The joy and the peace of Christmas are not something that rest upon the shifting sands of situations that match what you'd like them to be. This is built on the solid rock of the message that they declared to those shepherds, and it's the solid rock of the Savior that is born. And this is what we're going to consider this evening in our brief Christmas Eve devotional from Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And I'd like to just sort of set the stage a little bit, and this is a big stage. It's the stage of the whole scope of history. We've been kind of working through this over this month in our series here at Trinity, if you've been with us, the grand story of God, the story of the Bible from cover to cover. And we've considered some of the high points of that in the Old Testament, how promises are made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And those promises included that a descendant would come in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And then, of course, God does a mighty work of delivering the nation of Israel, the descendants of those men, from slavery in Egypt. And this really becomes sort of the paradigm of God's rescue that he's going to do for people through the sending of the Savior. And then there's promises to David that his heir would rule on a throne forever. And then God sends prophets who declare the Messiah to be coming. God gives a child to Elizabeth, this older woman, and then to her virgin cousin, Mary. There's a conception that's miraculous, and we've considered this. And now Jesus is born in fulfillment of all these promises and all of the hopes and dreams of the people of Israel. A child is born, and this is just sort of the transition point to the rest of the story. His life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, his plan for rescuing people through gospel ministry today, and his people, the church, declaring that message. And then one day, he returns again, and all of those redeemed by his coming are with him forever and ever. And tonight, we're considering this story, how it's grounded in history. This story we're told in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, during the days of King Herod. We're told in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it's when a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. This is not some kind of mythical kind of story. This is a real working of the real God in history. And now the king has come. and the king comes. Isn't this good for ordinary people? The king comes to a bunch of guys that were rugged men out working in the fields at night. They weren't just guys that had that kind of job. Those are the guys who had that job and got stuck working at night on the job, out in the field. And so this tells us that the story is for everyone. The story is declared first. The birth of Christ is declared first to those ordinary men. And of course, the message is of a Savior. The message is specific. It's for you. It's for you because it's for them. It's definitely for you. And the story is a story that is to be spread with joy to others. We're going to talk about these things briefly tonight as we look at those shepherds and all the fulfillment in the birth of this newborn King Jesus. We've been praising him. Let's also now respond as those shepherds responded with believing in him and knowing what his coming brings. We need this message, and we need to declare this message for others to hear it. You know, there's something about Christmas and I'm telling this story that I'm standing up here saying, well, I'm going to basically tell these people the same thing I've told them every year. And yet it never gets old, does it? It never gets old. For people that haven't heard it, it's like, wow, you really need to hear this. This is amazing stuff. And if you have heard it, you're like, well, that's really good to hear again. I need to be reminded again and again of Jesus, his love, his coming, and what his coming brings. This is a message of fear, stilling hope for you. And the angel said this, fear not, for behold, I bring you. And of course, isn't it amazing? This was for them, and it's amazing it's for you. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is news that's so amazing, the angels sing. It's not coincidental. They sang then because this amazing fulfillment and promise and all that that promise brings is now coming to planet Earth and coming to humanity. There was this great multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, and by the way, you did a pretty good job doing your own little praise here tonight, glory to God in the highest. And I even saw some smiles while you were singing those words like the angels sang. In excelsis Deo, going back to the Latin. But we're going to talk a little bit about this king has come for ordinary people and consider first the Savior. That's the promise that's now fulfilled, and it's what we so desperately need. You know, we didn't need an entertainer. We didn't need a motivational speaker. We didn't need a psychologist or self-help author. We didn't need an educator, no disrespect to our educators out there. We didn't need a scientist. We didn't need a political leader. We didn't need a general. We needed a Savior. And guess what? God sent a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Not just the help to get you through that struggle you're going through. I know that's there for you. That's not the point, though. The point is the help you need to be restored in your relationship to God, your Creator. And there's only one Savior who provides that kind of help. And that's this one, Jesus, the one who's born, the one who is the Word made flesh for us. So I want us to consider Luke chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Why is this news so great, so joy-producing? And the answer to the question is the next verse. For, Luke 2:11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the leading category here of the description of this birth and the reason for the joy, the reason for the fear-stilling hope that he gives. It is that he is the Savior. Yes, he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. Yes, he's the Lord. He's all that. He is, though, the Savior. That's Christ and Lord who rescues from sin and God's separation. And this is kind of one of Luke's main themes here. You can see a lot of the verses I've listed. And you can look at those and see more about it. Open your Bible itself and see that's what the message is. That's who he is. That's the mission. Now, I'm going to embark on something right here just for a minute, and I'm going to tell you some bad news. I'm going to tell you some good news after that, okay? So stay with me. Don't get down on me for the bad news. And don't push back on me for the bad news I'm telling you, because I'm telling you the bad news so that you really appreciate the good news, okay? So here comes the bad news, and it's threefold. First, we are made for relationship with a holy God. That doesn't sound so bad, but the second part is this. We're sinners, and because of that, we're separated from the relationship with that holy God. And here's a third part. That whole sin problem is a way bigger problem than folks tend to think it is. We're made by a holy God. Now, I know there's a lot of folks out there say, there's no God, blah, blah, blah. And I've realized in recent days more and more than ever that people have the ability to ignore the obvious, right? Just look at people like things like, but of course, everybody knows that's true, and that's people say it's not true, right? So the fact that a lot of folks are saying there's no God up there that made us and made us in his image, that doesn't prove anything. People have the ability to ignore the obvious. Secondly, though, this whole sin thing, this thing that we as human beings turn against the holy God, and because of that, there's separation between us and God. Again, there's a lot of folks say, I don't see any sin. I ain't got any sin, and my sin's not that bad, and whatever. It's like, well, once again, sort of ignoring the obvious. Anybody know they ever did anything that they didn't want to do that they knew was wrong? Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's all of us. But here's the third one. The third one is this whole sin thing is a way bigger problem than we tend to think it is. Why? Because this God is holy. And this whole sin thing leads to this dramatic separation between us and God. The wages of sin is death. In fact, let's look at Romans 6:23, sort of a gospel in summary. The wages of sin, that is our rebellion against this holy God, is death. That is separation from God now and forever. This is a really big deal, and there's nothing we can do to fix it. No amount of being nice and religion and whatever is going to solve this thing. This is bad news. Now's the good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. That's the way out. It's the only way out. And it's such good news. And don't push back against the bad news, because if you do, you'll never accept the good news, right? You'll say, there's no God, there's no problem. It's like my sin. No, but if you say, it is bad. It's really bad. But there's a Savior, then you go running to the Savior, embrace the Savior, and have the rescue his coming provides. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He provides for the core need that we have in this separation from God so that we are made right with God to have eternal life in fellowship with God now and forever. This is what Jesus provides, and this is what we are called to receive. Jesus brings salvation, a restored relationship with God, and we can receive it by turning to him. You know, when Jesus came into the earth, one scripture in Luke chapter 1, verse 69, that sort of accents what all this is coming is going to bring is that he is a horn of salvation raised up in the house of David. And this salvation then pertains, of course, to the forgiveness of sins, to the restoration of rebel humans to a personal relationship with the eternal God and a hope that they can have in him now and forever. All this made possible by the coming of Jesus. And as Luke frames the story, he accents John the Baptizer, in contrast to Jesus. If you look in your Bible, in Luke chapter 1 and 2, you can see that, well, John, as he came, had a miraculous birth, but Jesus' birth was even a greater miracle. John is called great. Jesus is called the Son of God. John is the one who prepares for the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. John points to the Savior and the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior and the Messiah. John is the last in line before the coming of the fulfillment in Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment. And of course, this is the hinge of history in that grand story of God. It's the climactic point. And on top of all that, the angels sang in praise to God because this is so marvelous. The Savior has been born. And that sets the stage for everything God is doing through the ministry of the gospel today. And as we come to know Jesus through faith, we enter into all those blessings that his saving and his coming provides. Now, one point in Jesus' ministry that we sang about tonight, and I'm just going to reference it briefly here, is the cross. Because this story of rescue, of course, it continues to Jesus going to the cross and giving his life for forgiveness of sins. It's a new covenant establishing death. Jesus says in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, this cup, as he holds up the cup at the Last Supper there, is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. This is secured by his death on the cross, this salvation and new covenant reality. Now, I'd like to move to talking about specific. And specific is you, whoever you are. Specific is you because this Savior is born for all, and that includes you. And the shepherds show us remarkably that we should each hear for me. Because, of course, they were unexpected recipients of the message. In fact, let's drill down a little deeper on this understanding of who shepherds are. We may tend to kind of glamorize them and say, hey, you know, these are some, you know, really kind of upstanding dudes out there in the field, but actually not. In that time in Israel, not only were they the sort of the working class, they were really sort of the fringe of society. The shepherds were considered that. Because of their work with these animals and all that they did, they were in a state of being perpetually in a condition of being ceremonially unclean, according to the Jewish law. In that time, shepherds had a reputation, maybe not entirely fair, of being typically dishonest people. So they're sort of the working class on the fringes of society, viewed by the religious establishment as sort of being outside of what is acceptable, and they had a reputation for being dishonest. And Jesus' coming is declared first to them. So if there's anybody here today who's saying, hey, well, I'm not one of those, Pastor Bruce. It's got to be for somebody other than me, some people a little more religious, a little nicer, a little more cleaned up, a little whatever. I say, no. Look at the shepherds. Clearly, this message is for you. It's for you. It's for everybody. It's for all people, including you. And although you is in the plural here, as the angel declares to the shepherd, I bring you, it really is very personal, as if it was almost a singular you, with you as being the one that is being spoken to. The good news is for people of every nation. I note that here in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Now, all the people could be the Jewish people in their entirety, but if we look a little deeper, you can see that Luke has already begun to signal that this includes Gentiles. This is not just Jews. And in fact, in Luke chapter 2, verse 32, Simeon, as he considers that baby Jesus, he said, now this one is light for revelation to the Gentiles. And by the time we get to the very ending of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, verse 47, Jesus makes clear by his command that this message is to go to all nations. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So it's all people, all the world, everybody, and it isn't just a generic all, it's a personal all. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, Luke 2:10. It's an invitation for you to hear and respond as the shepherds hear and responded. Again, Luke 2, verse 11, for unto you, notice it keeps stressing this, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior was Christ the Lord. It's you, getting back to you. Now, I want us to imagine that tomorrow, as you gather in your opening presents and whatever, that there's a present left under the tree, and it has someone's name on it, and nobody opened it. Oh, what kind of thing would that be? What if it was your name on it? Would you leave it unopened? Hope not, right? Well, don't leave this one opened. It has your name on it. The message of Jesus, his coming, his Savior. This is for you. This is everybody. It's not for those other people, you know, cleaned up life or whatever, and somebody different than you. It's not like, oh, I'm so terrible. It's not for me. No, it's for you. The very point is it's for you. That's the message, and it's specific. Now, I love how these shepherds respond. And I think Luke's kind of drawing this out, not to say, hey, some shepherds went and saw, but no, he goes into, like, they did what they were told to do. They went and saw. They responded to Jesus. And my prayer is that every single one of us who hears this message is like the shepherds in that respect. Respond to Jesus. Notice what they did. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds didn't say, hey, let's go back to work now and forget. No, they said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see. Let's go do what we're told to do and check this out. That has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. This amazing thing. Notice how they respond again. Verse 16. And they went with haste. Haste means in a hurry. And it wasn't that they were hurrying to get all their shopping done and get everything in before Christmas they need to get in, or hurrying through work and da-da-da and life and life. That's the kind of hurry we do. This is hurrying to get on with the response to God. That's the right kind of hurry. Hurry to get on with it in response to God. His message for you, take hold of it. If there's things you need to understand, then go read, ask, pray. But responding to God is the one thing worth hurrying about. And they went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now that's quite a thing. This baby lying in a manger thing. And again, don't think of this in some idyllic kind of glowing scenes thing. A manger is an animal's feeding trough. The reason why this was such a sign for the shepherds, what other baby would be in an animal's feeding trough? No other baby would be in an animal's feeding trough. This is entirely unique. And what does it speak to? Well, it speaks to the full humanity of this one who came, though God in flesh, fully human, and it speaks to the profound humility of his coming to rescue us, this Savior who came for us. And so they saw it just like the angel told it. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. They saw it and they said, this is indeed it. This is the child, the Savior. We've come, we've seen. And they didn't stop there. In this season, many people hear the message and don't respond. Many people may think, hey, we've got such a world that's a mess, and I'm a mess, and I'm not sure I'm the right kind of person, I'm a horrible person, or maybe I'm a good person, whatever. And so people tend to do in this season the opposite of what the shepherds did. They don't respond to the message. My prayer is that you would not just move on, like as if the shepherds had said wow and then gone back to sleep or go back to their sheep or ignore the message or think somebody else is a better person for the message, or that I'm not good enough, or someday I might respond or come up with some other excuse or whatever. But my prayer is that tonight you would agree that Jesus is a wonderful Savior and that you would embrace him as your Savior. Embrace the gospel like the shepherds did. The King has come for you. And then if you have received it, just a few words to those of us who have. This message is to be spread with joy. The accent note that should characterize our lives as followers of Jesus, no matter what the circumstances are, is one of praise to God and joy in life as we proclaim the message of this one who's rescued us. I believe Luke holds up the shepherds as really a paradigm of what believers ought to be, going forth with joy in God to tell others of the Savior. This is what our lives ought to look like. This is what their lives look like. God intends for us to be like them. Look at Luke verse 17 of chapter 2. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. First thing those guys did was told somebody else of what the Savior meant to them. You know, you can take on that same approach, and maybe even this holiday season, encourage others, point others to him, and tell others about him. And then that's the very thing Jesus told us to do as his followers right before he ascended back into heaven. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. I mentioned this verse earlier where it spoke to how this message for all nations is what Jesus intends. But it also is a message that is to be proclaimed by those who believe it. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So how did the shepherds leave it after they left the manger? Well, they told other people, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And then look at the praise they gave to God. Doesn't this come full circle? The angels declared to them, now they declare to others. The angels praised God, and now they praise God. You, if you receive him, you declare to others. You, if you receive him, now you praise God. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. What's our response? I'd like us to let this candle illustrate our response to the Savior who came for ordinary people tonight. And that's you. That's illustrated in many ways by this candle. If you think about it, there's no light there. We need a Savior. And when we receive him in personal faith and trust, truly acknowledging that he has provided what's necessary for our sins' forgiveness and our eternal life, for us to be restored to a right relationship with God. When we receive him in true faith, then light comes to us. And now that light is a light that we shine and we spread with praise to God and joy as we tell others. And so here's a summary. We all need light. Due to sin's impact, light has come. Jesus is the Savior. Receive Jesus by turning to him, trusting in him, so you have light. And then if you have life through a personal response to Jesus, then worship him with joy. All of this is illustrated in this candle, and we're going to sort of act this out as we close this service. And just one final scripture, Luke 2:21. Why is it that Luke goes back to the naming of Jesus when he is circumcised after the description of the shepherds? Luke 2:21 says this: after the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Why is that? Because that name reinforces who he is. Jesus means the Lord saves. He saves. He's Savior. Make him your Savior. Personal response. And if he is your Savior, don't fritter away the time living for something else. Live for him. Live for him. Praise him. Tell others about him. Let your light shine. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the most amazing, amazing gift provided through our Savior by the gift of that Savior himself, the King who reigns forever. Let's praise him as we sing Silent Night together. And let's stand as we do so. Kennedy and Alicia are going to lead us in this. And I'm going to light my candle from this light, spread it to a few others, and then your job is to spread it throughout this room. And let those lights continue to shine as we sing, as we let our lights continue to shine in praise unto our Savior, as we tell others this good news. Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Let's praise him as we sing.
Tender and mild, sleep.